You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Over the past week, the conflict in Iran has seen consistent U-turns as the United States continues to change its strategy in the war. On Wednesday morning, United States President Donald Trump threatened Iran, saying a civilization will die tonight, just hours before agreeing to a two-week ceasefire with Tehran. The ceasefire is now in doubt, however, as Israel has escalated its bombing campaign in Lebanon, killing hundreds since it was signed. And Trump announced this morning that the US will block the Strait of Hormuz after failed peace talks with Iran and Pakistan. Amidst all of this, New Zealand's Foreign Minister Winston Peters met with US Secretary of State Marco Rubio on the day of Trump's threats and wouldn't condemn the comments. Some New Zealanders are concerned by the country's limp response to these illegal threats and actions against Iran. Also this month, the ACT Party has continued to call for the abolition of the Broadcasting Standards Authority after it was announced that a complaint about online site The Platform and its host Sean Plunkett would be looked at by the authority. For our weekly catch-up with ACT Party's Simon Court, I asked him about the ceasefire in Iran, the US blocking the Strait of Hormuz, and the Broadcasting Standards Authority. This morning, US President Donald Trump has announced the United States will begin blocking the Strait of Hormuz. How important is freedom of peaceful navigation to New Zealand, and should we be concerned by this escalation?
Well, the US is trying to stop Iran from using that route to threaten world shipping or to charge for passage tolling. I mean, it's a modern form of piracy, what the Iranians are doing. And instead, the US intends to keep it open for traffic. That matters not just because the Hormuz is a regional waterway. It's actually a vital artery for global trade and energy, including for New Zealand, where, you know, we get a lot of petrochemical product, we get fertilizer, as well as crude oil that flows to refineries that supplies New Zealand. Look, New Zealand needs to keep backing efforts around de-escalation, diplomacy, because in the end it's only going to be solved at the negotiating table. But of course, you know, unless there is freedom of navigation, freedom of the seas, which New Zealand depends on, the situation as it currently stands with Iran blocking the strait is untenable.
You talked about the solution being about negotiating there. There was the ceasefire agreement agreed last week between the US, Israel and Iran, but it's been seen as very insecure, not very stable with this blocking now, but also Israel escalated their attacks on Lebanon. We've seen hundreds killed since the ceasefire has begun. Are these attacks unhelpful to reaching that peaceful resolution?
Well, I mean, it's become quite clear it's not so much ceasefire as a ceasefire. Is, you know, a pause in the US operations to give them time to negotiate with Iran. Look, what's happening in Israel, I understand the Israelis consider it to be a separate conflict. I mean, they've fought an existential war with the zombie hordes coming across their borders on October 7, Hamas, you know, October 7, 2023. It looks like what they've discovered in Lebanon is a similar plan, tunnels full of weapons and preparations being made to come across their northern border. So you can understand why the Israelis are, you know, rightly very, very concerned and want to make sure that that type of threat is controlled, if not eliminated. It's a really complex situation, and it's hard to judge from all the way over here in little old New Zealand exactly what the right course of action is. But, you know, Iran's been playing this role as, you know, a state sponsor of terror since 1979. You know, this conflict that we've seen over the past couple of months is really, you know, just the latest chapter. And, you know, what's gone on before, you know, the Iranians were behind the bombing of the U.S. Marine barracks in Beirut, which killed hundreds of U.S. soldiers. You know, they've been responsible for bombings and attacks around the world over many decades, which have killed thousands. So, you know, we need to keep this in perspective, and I think the most important thing New Zealand can do is to reinforce that in the end, only a lasting diplomatic solution is going to help the world.
On New Zealand's response there, Foreign Minister Winston Peters met with Marco Rubio just hours before US President Donald Trump threatened that a whole civilization will die tonight in regards to Iran. There's some concerns that New Zealand's response here hasn't been outspoken enough about the actions and threats against Iran that are against international law. Can you explain the positions in regards to this carelessness of international law the US has shown?
Well, look, I do follow US politics, and what I've heard many commentators over there say is, look, you've got to take Donald Trump seriously, not literally. If you look at his his social media posts, you'll see they can be pretty vitriolic. But let's be clear. Iran is a clear threat to its neighbours. Its behaviour by firing rockets and drones indiscriminately at residential areas in Israel, in Kuwait, in Bahrain, Saudi and Dubai, it's just obvious that they are a bad actor. So, you know, what Winston Peters was doing, visiting Marco Rubio, look, in an uncertain world, it's important New Zealand does actively engage with our key security and defence partners like the US. The meeting wasn't just about conflict around the world. It's actually about economic opportunities for New Zealand, including critical minerals, securing our energy and overall supply chain. And there's real interest in the US in working with New Zealand on everything from minerals, not just extraction and mining, but also processing here. And there's a really big opportunity for growth there, which New Zealand needs to be ready to take advantage of.
Yeah, about taking Donald Trump seriously there, he's also today threatened to specifically target Iran's water supply and power stations. I mean, I know you say we should be diplomatic, but surely New Zealand, as someone who stands up for international law, should maybe be saying something more.
Well, I think what New Zealand needs to do is focus what's important to New Zealand, which is making sure that we can secure energy, commodities that we absolutely rely on, such as fertilizer, petrochemicals, resins, all the things that go into manufacturing in New Zealand. We can't make things to sell to the world unless we can get the raw ingredients that we combine with our own natural resources here. So rather than pronouncing about other people's, particularly allies' actions when they are at war, and they are at war with a regime that has been screaming and chanting death to America since 1979, when they took over the US embassy in Tehran and kept hundreds hostage for over a year, threatened those people and treated them terribly. I mean, the US views this in a way I think it's hard to understand from New Zealand, and we should just be cognizant of that.
Right, moving on now to the Broadcasting Standards Authority. This month, ACT has revived calls to abolish the authority after it was announced a complaint about the online site The Platform would be considered. Why is abolition here, rather than amending the legislation potentially, the ACT Party's response?
Well, the BSA is starting to look less like a broadcasting regulator and more like a taxpayer-funded hall monitor for the internet. And that's what bureaucracies do when their original job disappears. They go looking for a new one. A law written for the 1980s television should not become a backdoor for regulating online speech. That's ACT's view. And if the BSA think the answer to irrelevance is regulating the internet, that tells you they've totally lost the plot. We've already got laws for online harm, like defamation and incitement. We do not need a state speech referee roaming around the internet telling people essentially what they think is acceptable speech and what isn't.
So if we got rid of the BSA, what controls would we then have over misinformation and discrimination on air? Would there be any alternative introduced?
Well, we already have laws for actual harm, like defamation and incitement. I mean, if you think something is misinformation, you know, the best answer to misinformation, if you consider that's what it is more information. That's why ACT supports free speech rather than speech policing by the likes of BSA.
What are your opinions on, is there not more nuance here in the debate? I mean, the BSA isn't going after, you know, all comments made online. The platform is very much acting as a broadcaster, just in an online context. Do you think that there's absolutely no world where the BSA should intervene when this broadcast is going out to thousands, millions of people?
Well, look, in the 1980s, when New Zealand was a very socially conservative country that had two television stations, both of which were owned by the state, having a broadcasting standards regulator where people could ring up and complain about something they'd heard on TV probably made sense. But in the world we live in now, where you and I could jump online, click on just about anything, content coming from any jurisdiction in the world, whether it's on YouTube or any other platform, and see live broadcasts. I mean, I can jump online now and watch live news and content from just about anywhere in the world. It makes no sense at all that the BSA, a 1980s organisation, set up to police language and standards, you know, in a very conservative country nearly 50 years ago, is the right kind of organisation to be regulating broadcast on the internet. It's clearly not. I think we just need to go back to first principles. Now, the answer to bad speech is more good speech. That's one of ACT's principles. We believe in freedom of speech. And, you know, we need to have laws and enforce them when it comes to defamation and incitement to do harm. That would be exposition. That's all we need.
I know you're not prepared. I might just ask a quick question on the cyclone. Is that all right? So we've seen the cyclone come through the North Island yesterday. More of these, you know, once-in-a-lifetime weather events seem to be happening. Is there any potential policy change the government's going to take from this for preparation for future cyclone or events?
Well, I think what we've seen is New Zealanders take the warning about cyclone very seriously in terms of preparing themselves. That's what we want Kiwis to do. We want them to have 3 days' supply of food and water. That's the minimum. But in terms of additional government policy to get people ready for an event, we're doing a lot of work in emergency management in basically setting up systems that are better able to respond. In resource management law, one of the things that we're exploring through the process that I'm working on with Chris Bishop, you know, to reform and replace the RMA, is to provide more flexibility for councils and others to actually go and do things like get a digger into a river, clear debris out of it before the storm comes. At the moment, if you put an excavator into a river to start clearing material away, you could be prosecuted and fined and potentially even go to jail, even though you're doing the right thing for your community. So I think it's really important that we make sure that Kiwis have as much flexibility as possible to prepare for storms and not let bureaucracy and red tape get in the way.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court speaking to me about the ceasefire in Iran, the US blocking the Strait of Hormuz, and the Broadcasting Standards Authority.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.